Pasuk says in this coming week's parasha, if two people would be fighting, one person hit somebody else with an item or with a fist, and he doesn't die, but he becomes injured, or two people are quarreling and one strikes the other, so then he has to make restitution for the damage that he caused. A nefesh for a nefesh, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, yad tachas yad, hand for a hand, regel tachas regel, foot for a foot, kviya tachas kviya, a burn for a burn, petz tachas potza, a wound for a wound, chabur tachas chabura, a bruise for a bruise. Anyway, he has to make restitution for the damage that he caused. He's responsible for it. And obviously the Gemara tells us in Masechta Baba Kama, Pedawin, that this doesn't mean that we actually take an eye for an eye, literally, but rather that it refers to a monetary payment. He has to make a financial compensation to the injured party, for that which he lost. And the Rambam actually writes at the beginning of Chevul Mazik that this is not a drush of the Tersh Baal Peh, like other drushes. This is included in what he calls Perushim Hamukubalim from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. The Rambam at the beginning of the Perushim Mishnayos, that there are certain Perushim Hamukubalim from Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai that's like included in Pshuto Shel Mikra. It's the simple interpretation of the text, make a financial payment. Gra claims it's actually alluded to in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says, Ayin Tachas Ayin, an eye under an eye. Why doesn't it say Ayin Ba'ad Ayin, an eye for an eye? Why is it an eye under an eye? So the Gra said, because the Torah is hinting to us to look at the letters underneath the letters of the word ayin. If you go down one down in the alphabet on each one of these letters, so the ayin becomes a pei, the yud becomes a chaf, and the nun becomes a samach, which are oisiyos kesef. So the Gra said that it means that you're supposed to pay money, not, and it's already alluded to in the Torah itself, not to actually take an eye for an eye, literally. Okay, so you have to make pay financial compensation to the injured party. And this is even if it was not a fight where the two are quarreling with one another and someone strikes someone deliberately. But the Gemara tells us in Masechet Sanhedrin, it's a Mishnah Bava Kama 2, Daf Chavav, that Adam Mu'ad Li'olam, a person is always responsible for his actions, Bein B'Shoigeg, Bein B'Mezid, whether it was inadvertent or deliberate, bein ba'ones, bein b'ratzon, even if it was an accident or intentional. However, the Gemara included bein ba'ones, even if it was an accident. So Tosfos, the Rishonim may ask a stira from another Gemara in Bava Kama. The Gemara tells himself it's Bava Kama of Chavzayin Mebeis. Hey niach esakad b'shus harabim. One person puts down barrels in the b'shus harabim. Uba acher v'niskal ba. Another one comes and he trips over it, v'shibra, and he breaks it. So he's potter. Am I potter? Why is he potter? Person's always responsible for his actions. He should have been more careful when he was walking. Why is he potter? So Amri debay Rav, Mishmei de Rav, v'memale rishus harabim kula chaviyos. Said in the house of Rav, in the name of Rav, that it's because the entire rishus harabim is full of barrels. So it's impossible to pass without breaking one of the barrels. Shmuel Amar Bafego Shonu, no, he's talking about where it's dark outside. There's no possible way that the guy could have avoided destroying these barrels. It was unavoidable. So it sounds like if a person damages somebody else in a way that it was unavoidable, totally out of his control, then he's exempt. So Frek Tezek Kasha. But what happened? The Gemara told us earlier that Adam Mu'ad Li'olam, a person is always considered forewarned. He's always responsible for his actions. Bein ba'oynis, bein b'rotzen, even if it was by accident, or out of his control. So Tosfos resolves, oynis gomor lo rabbi rachmana. If it's literally unavoidable, meaning if it's an accident, you could have been more careful, and there's some measure of awareness that you didn't pay attention to, you weren't paying attention to fully to the consequences of your actions, so fine, you're liable. But if it was an oynis gomor, completely unavoidable, then you're not considered liable and not held responsible to make financial restitution for that which you did. And Tosfos brings a further proof to this from Yerushalmi, which tells us, Poiter, Oiso Sheyoshan, Rishon, Mhizik, Lesheni, Haba Esolishan. One guy is sleeping, somebody else comes, and he lies down next to him, unbeknownst to the person who is already sleeping, and the guy who's sleeping punches him in his sleep and damages him. So Yerushalmi says, in such a situation, you're part of. Frank Tyson says, why? Adam Wuli Yailam, you're always responsible for your actions. So he says, yeah, that's if the guy goes to sleep and he knows someone's sleeping next to him. So be careful not to punch him. Even if you're sleeping, you're responsible for your actions. You should have been more careful. However, here, the guy came after I was already sleeping. So Taisus claims in such a situation, Einus Gomer is completely unavoidable, and you'll be exempt from liability and responsibility and making financial restitution. So an Einus Gomer, true, other Muli Yailam, but Taisus claims it's a complete accident, you know, or totally unavoidable, then a person is not responsible or liable. The Ramban and Baba Metzia disagrees. The Ramban and Baba Metzia says, no, those two cases are different. Because there the person put himself in harm's way. He took his barrels and he put them in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim. And he filled up the whole Rishus HaRabim with them and he put them there at night. What did you think was going to happen? So the responsibility and liability is not with the mazik, the person who broke the barrels, but rather with the owner of the barrels himself. Why would you do such a careless thing? Or someone comes to sleep next to someone else who's already sleeping. Obviously, he's not going to be aware that you're there and something might happen to you. So you accepted that responsibility upon yourself by putting yourself in harm's way. So Ramban claims that case is different. He writes, the Hasam Mishum, the Shani Pasha Yatsmo. He's negligent, or he has a contributing negligence. So therefore, the Ramban claims in such a situation, the second part, the Nizak, bears responsibility, not the Mazik. However, the Ramban claims, really, let's say it was not the injured party's fault. He has no response. He didn't do anything that was careless or negligent. So then the Ramban claims, even if it's an Einus Gomer, it's completely unavoidable, totally out of my control, absolute accident. The Ramban claims a person is still liable for his actions, even if it's other Muli Yalam, Bein B'Shagi, Bein B'Meizi, Bein B'Einus, Bein B'Ratzon. Even if it's an Einus Gomer, he rejects Tais's position that a person is exempt in an Einus Gomer. Well, they seem to be arguing about, what Gusman explains in his Sefer Kuntres Yishuim above a comma, they seem to be arguing about whether or not, what's the reason a person is responsible for his actions. Taisus understood that it's because a person should have been more careful. And if you were pretty careful, you could have been more careful. Just like a person is responsible if his property damages somebody else, because you weren't careful to guard your items. So that's why Tosis feels if it's an Einus Gomer, is completely out of your control, unavoidable, the person would be exempt and not be held responsible. However, the Ramban feels, no, it's simply petza tachas potza. A person is responsible for his actions, whether he could have been more careful or not, even if it's totally out of his control, if he damaged somebody else and the other person didn't have any contributing negligence, the Ramban feels that you are liable and responsible for your actions and you have to pay. We have a deposit in the Shulchan Aruch like Tosfos, that if it's an Einus Gomer, it was completely unavoidable, then you're potter. So therefore, it could be, if let's say a person, two people are engaged in a sporting activity, and someone gets injured. So, if, you know, according to Tysus, if it's an Einus Gomer, it was completely unavoidable, a person would, in theory, be exempt. And if it wasn't, he could have been more careful, then in theory, he'd be obligated to pay to make financial compensation to the injured party. However, the truth of the matter is, you have to even think about it for a moment, this case is really not that relevant to sporting activities. Why? Because when a person engages in sporting activity, he's well aware, before he ever engages in the activity, that people sometimes get injured. And by engaging in such an activity in the first place, he's implicitly giving permission or forgiving any responsibility that would be on for any injuries that might occur. In other words, he's moichel. But can a person be moichel on injuries, and to what degree do people have in mind to be moichel? So the Mishnah tells us in Bava Kama, Daf Sadi Beis Med Aleph, Ha'omer Samas Eini. Person says to somebody else, blind me, katas yadi, cut off my arm, shiberas ragli, break my leg, chayiv. He's obviously obligated to pay. But Almanas Liftor, let's say the guy says to him, you'll be potter. Okay? He's still chayev. Still obligated to pay. Whatever he says, though, karas kasusi, rip my garment, shabar kadi, break my utensil, chayev, you're also obligated to pay if you damage someone else's property. Amanas liftar, what if it's on condition that you'll be exempt? He gives you permission to do it. So then, potter, you don't have to pay. So, frak the Gemara, look at the period in the middle of the line. Amalei Rav Asi bar Chama l'Rava. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, how come in the case of the Samas Eini Kates Yadi Shibir's Ragli, Amanas Liftar, he's exempt? When it comes to Kras Ksusi, Shibir's Kadi, he's Chayev. So Amalei, Reisha, in the first case, Lufisha Eina the Moichel Rashi Varim. Nobody is Moichel on personal injury. You really don't have a mind to be Moichel. Even if you say Amalei Liftar, you really don't mean it. Because no one's Moichel. Amalei, whereas Niske Mamainai, your property, people Moichel all the time. I don't need the coat anymore, this utensil is obsolete. Fine, go ahead, break it, if it makes you happy. Amalei, v'chi adam Moichel Tzarai, would a person be Moichel, forgive, give permission to someone else to pain them? Desanya, hakeini, pitzaini, what if I say to someone else, slap me, or cut me? Amanas liftar, make a wound. Amanas liftar, putter, on condition that you'll be exempt, the guy's putter. What's the difference between that and a personal injury? In the Mishnah that we said, a person is never Moichel on personal injury. Yeah, but if you injure my, you damage my property, I'm Moichel. Personal injury, no one's ever Moichel. How come if I say to someone else, slap me, or make a wound, and you'll be exempt that he's potter? So Ishtik, Rava was quiet, he didn't know what to respond. So Amar Midi Shmiel Lachas, Rava said back to Rav Asi Bar Chama, maybe you have some, kind of resolution to figure this out between the Brice and the Mishnah. Amalei, Hafi Amar Rav Sheshes, this is what Rav Sheshes said. Mishum Pegam Mishpacha. No, that this case is different. There's a difference between chopping off a limb, breaking a leg, chopping off an arm, blinding somebody, that is a permanent injury versus a temporary bruise or slap, a bruise to his ego. That kind of striking somebody, but it doesn't leave any permanent effect. So that, people are Moichel. When it comes to a permanent injury or handicap, nobody is Moichel. Either for one of two reasons. Rav Sheisha says, Mishum Pegam Mishpacha. Either because you have no right to be Moichel, because it not only affects you, it affects your family. Either because of embarrassment, or because they're going to be responsible for you now. They're going to have to take care of you. So Pegam Mishpacha, it affects others too. Or, that's Rav Oshia, Mishum Pegam Mishpacha, Rabba Amar Mishum She'ein Adam Moichel, Rav Sheivam Shalom. Nobody's Moichel on permanent injuries. Yes, a temporary wound, a slap, people could be Moichel on that. When it comes to a permanent injury, simply no one is Moichel. And more or less, that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, that when it comes to property damage, people are willing to be Moichel. Even when it comes to tsar, to discomfort, to pain, a slap, a temporary wound, people are Moichel. When it comes to a permanent injury, no one is Moichel. And if you say Samas Eini, Katas Yadi, Shibir Ragli, even if it's Almanath Liftar, the person would be Chayit. Okay, that's how the Shulchan Aruch seems to pass more or less. However, there's a problem. With regards to the Chuvas HaRosh, it's also cited by the Shulchan Aruch. Look at this interesting, fascinating case of the Rosh. Shnayim shenis avku yachad. Two, we know from Yaakov Avinu what is a vayayovek ish imo nis avku yachad means that they are wrestling. Two are wrestling. V'hipo echres chaver lo'aretz. One throws the other one to the ground. V'nofol olav. Body slam. U'v'noflu olav sima seinoi. He blinded him. Shel tachton. Nearly the potter, says the Rosh. He's not obligated to pay some sort of financial compensation for blinding the other fellow, even though he damaged him. V'yafa gav, says the Rosh, to kind of other mul liyoylam, a person is always responsible for his actions, bein b'shoyi, bein b'mezi, bein b'inez, bein b'rotz, bein yoshin, bein ar, whether he's sleeping or awake, it's intentional or by accident, he's responsible for his actions, and here, he blinded this other fellow, says the Rosh, is different. Do ones gomor. He passes like Tosfos. If it's a completely unavoidable, you're exempt.
Doesn't matter why they were wrestling.
No, they're wrestling. Sounds like they both agreed to wrestle.
That's not wrestling.
Yeah, no, they both agreed. Yeah. It's a wrestling match. It's not a fight. It's not a brawl. V'chein benidon zeh, so to hear, nis avku zeh mzeh midash shneem, v'ziku zeh zeh shaloi b'kavona. One damaged the other one without having intention, obviously, to do permanent damage. Well, having a wrestling match. When two people are fighting, you're wrestling, you're going to throw the other guy down. That's exactly what you're doing. When he jumps on his friend, he can't distinguish and measure. Well, I'll throw you down carefully so that I won't damage you. With all my might. It can be called Koho, Miss Afkin. I'm sorry, because with all their strength, they're wrestling. Each one has intention to throw the other one down. They had this in mind when they first started wrestling. Okay, so the Rosh says, even though I blinded the other guy while we were wrestling, I'm exempt from paying. But why did the Rosh say you're exempt? So initially, he brought up the Svar of Einis Gamor. It's completely unavoidable. But then at the end, he drifts towards a different line of argument, which is Adaita Dahakin Isav Kuyachan. And it's Midash Shnehem. They both did this knowing the risks in advance. So you kind of accepted upon yourself the risk simply by engaging in the activity. So you assume that risk. And therefore the other party is not liable. In other words, Mechila. You forgive the other party. You gave permission simply by engaging the activity in the first place. But which is it? Is the reason you're part because of Mechila or because of Einus? Yeah.
But this is like a assumption of risk.
Yeah.
If 90% of the time when people wrestle, you don't become blind, then there's no expectation that you can become blind from wrestling.
Excellent. So look over here at the Beis Yosef. The problem is, how can Mechila work? I'll do you one better. How can Mechila, we just got through saying, Mechila does not work when it comes to permanent injury. So if the Svar of the Rosh is one of Mechila, it can't work. It's not going to help you get out of paying for blinding the other fellow, because when people are Mechil, they're Mechil perhaps, you know, they forgive, give permission to others to damage them, you know, the property damage, or perhaps discomfort, or pain, or a slap, or a temporary wound, but not a permanent injury. No one's Michael on that. I think that's accurate. No one's Michael on that. So how can Mechila, the fact that you gave, you know, assumed the risk by engaging in this activity, exempt the other party from blinding this guy? You can't be Michael on that. We never assume anyone really means it when they say they're Michael on that. And he probably never expected that to happen.
But also, if no one would engage in wrestling.
If that would happen, of course. So look at the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, even though he quotes the Rosh in the Shulchan Aruch, asks, "V'yesh le'gam game al tshuva zu." This tshuva is confusing. "Kimitchila nasan tam lifto mipnei shu onus." He said, because it's completely unavoidable. It was a total accident. "Umashevi raya." He says, "Einam raya." The fact that he brought raya and an einus gamor is pater. He brought the same raya as Tosfos. You know, the guy puts barrels in the Rishus HaRabim in the middle of the night. You go down and sleep next to somebody who's sleeping already. You know, what did you expect? Fine. Einus gamor, you're exempt. So he says, Einam raya. He says, nothing to do with this case, says the Beis Yosef. The shiny hoka, here's the difference. It's kavnu la piloi. You were intending to body slam the guy. Va'asu hu liyos nizok. He's going to become injured. How can you call that an onus? How can you call that an accident? That's exactly what you were intending to do. Va'asu hu liyos nizok ayde apala. So, Einus, he doesn't think, help you. This is not Einus. And then he says, Va'achach nasim tamim deshem mochlu zelozeh. Then he gives another reason, because they're Michael. V'tainus mechila gam kin ein etaina. Mechila also doesn't work. Sha'ayim l'chaveyos ha'amaseini katas yadi. I'm an ask lifter. Chayiv. You're chayiv. Mechila doesn't work. No, we don't ever assume you mean it, that someone's actually going to be Michael on a permanent injury. So we're stuck. Why did the Rosh exempt this guy from blinding the other fellow in the wrestling match? So the Beis Yosef says, suggesting perhaps this is what the Rosh meant. Perhaps we could distinguish between one person who's being Michael, forgiving or giving permission to someone else to injure him. When you're engaged in activity and they're both at risk of injury, maybe there people actually do have in mind to forgive even a permanent injury, and they can do so. Meaning maybe that overrides the general rule that we assume people are not Michael on a permanent injury. Here, when both are at risk of becoming injured, perhaps that's different. Because either you or me. So they're both at risk. Maybe it's they're both Michael, and that's somehow different. However, I believe what the Rosh is really saying, Ophianius Daiti, is the following. And it's compelling. What the Rosh is saying is like this. What he's saying is, when people engage in a wrestling match, everyone understands, or boxing match, everyone understands you're going to get punched. Yeah? Hakeini, pitzaini, you're going to get slapped. You might get temporarily, you know, wounded. And people understand that that's going to happen. And they're Michael on that. That's a given, inevitable. No one expects a permanent debilitating injury to occur, even though it happens rarely. No one expects that. And no one intends to do that to somebody else. So says the Rosh, vis-a-vis the main, hakeini, pitzaini, the temporary wounding, they're miracle zelazel. They assume that risk by engaging in the activity. What about the permanent injury that occurred? That the Rosh said is an oinus. And he says back to me, he says, don't tell me that's not an oinus. That's an oinus. I meant to body slam you. I didn't mean to blind the other guy. That was completely, an accident. You'll tell me, yeah, but you could have been more careful. So that's where the Rosh says at the very end, the Rosh says, no, if we're both going at full speed, I'm going at your full speed, you're going at full speed, and when we're using all of our strength, I'm throwing you to the ground, you're throwing me to the ground, you can't tell me, well, be careful when you're smashing the guy to the ground that you don't cause any permanent damage. It's impossible to distinguish, when you're moving at full speed. So therefore, the Rosh says, that qualifies as an Einis Gamor, completely unintentional and unavoidable, because whenever you engage in these things, rarely these things do occur. And the Rosh says, therefore you're a potter, because it's an Einis Gamor. That's why he blends the two reasons together. So therefore, it seems to me, if two people engage in a sporting activity, and it's a contact sport, so everybody knows that they're going to get, hit, or bumped, or, temporarily wounded, perhaps. And that's, you assume that risk when you engage in that activity, there'd be no financial liability in the other party. And even if a permanent injury occurs by accident, so then it's an einis gamor, and the other party is exempt. We pass an einis gamor is exempt. So even if a permanent injury occurs, they're all going at full speed, you're engaging in a contact sport, you assume certain things will happen, and then to distinguish between that and a permanent injury, it's impossible when everyone's going at full speed. That's what the Rosh says. However, that's only with the caveat that what you're doing is what, as people say nowadays, is a basketball play. It's a football play. If a guy mugs the other guy in the middle of the football field, deliberately goes out of his way to harm the other guy, he's headhunting and things like that, then it's no different than a guy who, ambushes somebody else on the street and injures him. Of course, you'd be obligated to pay. That's not included. So, of course, flagrant fouls are all part of the game. Unnecessary roughness is all part of the game. Whatever is part of the game seems to be okay. But something that's, beyond what one would expect, or, you really should have not done that. You should have been more careful. And even people are engaging in full contact sports at full speed know not to do that. Then that's not an onus gamor anymore, and then a person would bear financial responsibility and liability for that which occurred. But if you're playing basketball, someone trips and breaks their leg going for a ball, a loose ball, there's no financial responsibility or liability, because you assume certain pushes and punches will happen as part of a game, and this was an onus gamor. Nobody intended to harm anybody else, and it's unavoidable. You can't avoid these things once in a while. Yeah.
And you include things in like hitting someone or cross-checking is part of the game, but you're intending to knock the person down.
Right, but if I go out of your way, the guy's on the ground, and I take my stick and poke it in the guy's eye, that's wrong. Or if he's going down, I deliberately put my elbow into his leg to break his leg, that's wrong.
But a regular check in hockey would be fine.
Yeah, and even if it's a little brutal, or, he'll get flagged for unnecessary roughness, I don't know what it's called in hockey, but roughing, okay. So then, that's part of the game. And sometimes people get a little carried away. But a guy who goes out, is not going for a loose ball and decides to go trip somebody, that's not part of the game. And that's no different than injuring somebody in an alley. You'd be obligated to pay. However, this is only with regards to financial compensation and restitution. But the problem is one allowed to engage in these sports knowing that you're going to hit others and others are going to hit you? In the first place, after all, there's a pasuk in Parshas Kisetse in the context of Beis Din administering Malkus Arboim Yakenu Lo Yosif LaKosoi, that you're supposed to hit him 40 times, because Al Darshan, of course, 39, and you're not allowed to hit him extra. Beis Din can't get carried away and start hitting more. And if you do, it's an Easter in the Torah, Lo Yosif LaKosoi. That's when you're dealing with somebody who's, who's been convicted of a crime, an Easter, so we give him Malkus. But the Gemara, the Rambam quotes it over here in Parakei, Chavil Mazik, Halacha Aleph, derives from that, infers from that, that certainly to go over to somebody who's entirely innocent and smack him is an Isser. Even if you don't cause personal injury, permanent injury, you just wound him, or even just, you know, punch him or smack him, where no bruising occurs even, like Malchus, not necessarily a bruise is going to occur, it's just a hit, a pinch. Also, it's an Isser for Yosef HaKosei. Rest around Parakei, Chavil Mazik, Halacha Aleph, also L'Adam Lach, Bo Bein Ba'atzma, Bein Mechaveroi. You can't injure yourself or somebody else. V'lo HaChavu Bovado, Kol HaMaka, Adam Koshim Yisrael. Anybody who hits somebody else from Kol Yisrael, Ben Kodom, Ben Godo, Ben Ish, Ben Isha, Derech, Min Tzoyon, in a combative way, Hareza Oiver B'Loi Sesei, he is violated L'Loi Sesei in the Torah, Shenemar, Lo Yosef HaKosei, you're not allowed to hit him extra times. If it's here a Torah Shalah Hosef, Bakas HaChayte, if Chazal said you can't hit a criminal, meaning someone who violated one of these Sumim in the Torah, you can't hit him more extra, Lamakas Kalvachayim or Lamakas HaTzadik. How much more so, a person who hits somebody who's entirely innocent, certainly he would bear responsibility for his actions. And not only can you not hit somebody else, how can you engage in contact where I know I'm going to have to hit somebody, but even if you're going to get hit, how can I allow other people to hit me? I can't hit myself. As the Rambam said, also the Adam lach bo bein ba'atzmai, bein b'chaveiro. Not only can you not hit others, you can't hit yourself. And that is derived from the Gemara Bava Kama, Mishnah Bava Kama, and Sadi Yamebez. Look over here, Eis Tes. The Mishnah says, ha'chaveiro ba'atzmai, afal pi she'eino roshai. If you injure yourself, even though you're not allowed to do that, potter. There's no malchus. Acherim she'chavu bo'i, chayovim. Other people injure you, in theory there could be Malchus. Whatever, they're chayef. Pay, Malchus, whatever. So you're not allowed to injure yourself. So the Gemara searches for a source for that. How do you know that? So the Gemara says, how do you know you're not allowed to injure yourself? So the Gemara brings up three possibilities. Perhaps it's derived from the Isser of suicide. The Sanya, Va'achas Dimcha, Munafshu Seichem Edroish. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu will seek, hold us responsible for our own blood. Kadosh Baruch Hu will hold you responsible for your own blood, meaning you're not allowed to commit suicide. So if you're not allowed to commit suicide, perhaps you can't injure yourself either. Someone says, nah, that's not the same. Dilma katala shiny. Maybe taking your life is different than injuring yourself. Some claim that that's just a dechiya ba'alma, maybe really is derived from suicide. Okay. But maybe the Gemara rejects it initially. The Gemara says, Elohai Tana, who, Desanya, maybe it's from the Easter of Baltashkis. Desanya, Makarin, Alameis, Lomidak, Ramori, we tear Kriya if a person loses a relative. There's no Chukasakim, Amarazar, Shamati, Shamakar, Alameis, so Yoyz Midak. Let's say you tear more than enough garments, meaning you tear more garments than you're allowed to, or supposed to, for Kriya. Like Mishum Baltashkis. The guy goes into his closet, starts tearing his whole closet when he loses a relative. So that's Baltashkis. Not allowed to do that. You're destroying useful items. But coach can't goofy. Certainly, if you can't rip a coat, you can't tear a hole in yourself either. The Dilma says, "No, really, that's not a great source." Begadim shiny, clothing are different. The pseida deloy hadarhu. There, it doesn't repair itself. However, the body heals itself. Rabbi Yochanan used to respect his clothing tremendously because it. Elevated his own covet, personal honor. When Rav Chizda was walking amongst the thorns and the bristles, madli lehu lemane, he picked up his pant leg so that the thorns would scratch his leg and not his pants. Amar zeh mala aruka, v'zeinu mala aruka. My leg will heal itself, my pants won't. So he said, Baltashkis is not a great source, because Baltashkis never, it doesn't come back. Once it's ripped, it doesn't repair itself. The body heals itself. So it's not a good source for the Yisrael Chayv HaBas. Well, Haytana Hu Desanya is learned out of a Nazir. A Nazir brings a carbon chatas at the conclusion of his Nazirus, because he didn't enjoy the world fully. He restricted himself unnecessarily from wine. If you have to bring a carbon chatas for restricting yourself from wine, suffering in this world unnecessarily, certainly if you injure yourself, you're suffering unnecessarily. Desanya, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Kaper, Berebi, Why does he have to bring a carbon chatas kahuzin of naziris? It could be aizen nefesh chatazeh. Who did he sin against? Eloshet tzir atzma min ayayin. He restricted himself unnecessarily from wine. V'adram kavachaymer. U'mazesh lo tzir atzma min ayayin nikra chayte. Amitza atzma min kol davar acher. Person who restricts himself just from wine is a chayte. Certainly, if you suffer unnecessarily in this world by hitting yourself, also is prohibited. Either way, whatever its source is derived from, the Rambam concludes, Perakei of Hilchot Mazik Locha Aleph, if you injure yourself, that's also included in Lo Yosef La Kosai. You're not allowed to hit anybody else, you're not allowed to hit yourself. Either because you're suffering unnecessarily in this world, perhaps it's related to suicide or Baal Tashchis. Either way, a person is not allowed to injure himself. So if I'm not allowed to injure myself, how can I give you permission to injure me? And it makes good sense why you're not allowed to injure yourself. Why not? Because look at the Rambam, Perek Yud Ches of Sanhedrin Lachabob. The Rambam says, what if a guy shows up in Beis Din and he says, was Machal Shabbos before Hesia, please give me Skila. Well, a guy says, I wore Shatnez, please administer Malkus. The Rambam says, Gzeres HaKosavi, She'em Amisim Beis Din V'Malkinis HaAdam B'Yidah Aspiv. We don't, even though you can make an admission in court and be obligate yourself in financial obligations or to pay money, not when it comes to capital punishment. LLP Shnai Maiden. You need two witnesses in order to administer capital punishment. An admission of guilt is not enough. Says the Rambam, why it's Xeris HaKosif. So writes the Radvaz in his commentary in the Rambam, Mahoki Amina Makol Dukhta, this is the rule, Ein Odom Mesim Atzmai Rosh. A person cannot render himself wicked and to the degree that will administer relevant. For some issues he can, he might be believed, but not vis-a-vis to administer capital punishment. Why not? The Rambam says, it's Xeris HaKosif, but writes the Radvaz at the end of the second line, even though Kol Shodav Xeris HaKosif, even though this is in fact Xeris HaKosif, Ein Anu Yoyda Matam, we don't know the reason, Ef Shalos Ksastam, he speculates to a reason. Our bodies don't belong to ourselves, we're caretakers of the Ribbono Shel'olam, as the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, they belong to me. They're on loan to us. So therefore, we have to take care of it. How can I make an admission of guilt and therefore obligate my body to receive punishment? My body doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Ribbono Shel'olam. So if my body doesn't belong to me and therefore I can't injure myself, I can't give permission to somebody else to injure me either. And in fact, that's how, if we flip the page, that's how the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, in Hilchos Shmiras HaGuf HaNefesh, and endowed many others, the Tshuva of the Rivash, from the Rishayim, the Chazan Ish, the Tshuva of the Chafos Yair, from the 1700s. Many say, and it's compelling, is that if you can't injure yourself, this is Gemara Bava Kama, how can I give permission to someone else to injure me? And even if it's not injuring, even if it's just slapping, you're not allowed to slap yourself, the Rambam said. You're not allowed to be mocking yourself. Certainly not allowed to injure, wound yourself, or certainly to permanently injure yourself. So how can I give other people permission to do that? So therefore, us lahakos es chaveroi, afilu hu noisin lo reshus lakosai, even if he gives you permission to do it, ki ein la odam reshus al gufoi klal. You do not have ownership over your body at all, lakosai v'lo levayish v'lo letzara. Okay? So therefore, many contemporary poskim claim that a person should not go paintballing. Why? Even though everyone understands what's going to occur, you're going to shoot these balls at other people full of paint, and going very fast, and you probably walk away with welts and bruises, unless you're wearing some sort of body armor. So that's what's going to happen. It's inevitable. And everyone's Michael, we assume that responsibility, that risk, by engaging the activity in the first place. It doesn't matter. I can't be, no one's obligated to pay. That's what we were talking about at the beginning. There's no financial liability. A person can be medical and a monetary obligation. However, I can't give permission to you to injure me or to slap me because I can't do the same thing to myself. How can I give you permission to do it to me? The body doesn't belong to me. It's unknown from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah?
Isn't there a passage that says, referring person like Amir,
that's danger. Danger. Of course.
The passage is specifically talking about you should protect yourself. It doesn't necessarily apply to other people.
Well, Samar al Damar Yancha,
Hashevo Solo. But here that we're saying, well, if you can't injure yourself,
how can I give other people permission to do it to me? Well, there's a certainly an issue in the Torah to hit somebody. But Yosef HaKaisai, I can't give one extra Malkus Easter in the Torah. Even though the guy's going to walk away fine. Well, 40, 39, not going to make such a difference to most people. You're not allowed to do it. Easter in the Torah. So I can't shoot a paintball at you. Not allowed. I can't slap you. I can't punch you. Can't do these things. Why might one think it's allowed? We're all engaging in activity. I'm shooting you. You're shooting me. Okay? So I'm being Marco. I'm giving permission for you to do it. Yeah, but the problem is, I can't do it to myself. How can I give you permission to do it?
But I can't do it because the pasuk says so.
We derive either from suicide, Baal Tashris, Nazir, whatever the source is, you can't do it to yourself. If I can't do it to myself, I can give permission to you to do it to me. The body doesn't belong to me. Follow?
So I guess how come the pasuk I just mentioned is not brought down?
When you get to that pasuk, that means you should avoid dangerous situations. Different issue. So therefore, any contact sport should really be prohibited to engage in. Because you can't punch somebody. You can't. So it really would be punching, you know, in a basketball, it's probably inadvertent. You know, but in a sport where contact is part of the sport, hitting the guy is part of the sport, it seems to be a big problem. However, the Minchas Chinuch writes over here, Mitzvah Mem Chesor, is Gimel, disagrees, nearly as Daiti, Dezesh Chayiva HaTorah B'Hika, B'Chaveira, that which the Torah makes a person responsible for hitting somebody else. Hanu Davka B'Loi Roshos, that's without permission. Avalim Eirin Loish Yakim O'Yikalim, Eino Over B'Lav HaZev, Eino Chayiv Malkus B'Loi Misa. No, there's no responsibility if I give you permission. But the problem is, how can I give you permission? I can't do it to myself. Fundamental problem. So the truth of the matter is, already in the Tshuva of the Marlbach was a contemporary of the Radvaz and the Rambam, 1500s in Eretz Yisrael, was the Bar Plukt of the Marie Beirav, and the famous Machlekes and Tzvas about reviving the Smicha, based on the suggestion of the Rambam, famous Machlekes of Rishonim. So the Marlbach, maybe Ibn Khabib, discussed the same issue as the Radvaz. Let's say a guy comes to Bezin and asks for Malkus. He wants Malkus. He wants to receive a kapara. Many shuls, they did it. Not in our time. In old, you know, antiquity, gave Malkus in the shul, Erev Yom Kippur. People give Malkus to others. How can you do that? You're hitting somebody up. Well, he asked me. But how can he ask you? He can't do it himself. He says, "We're ashamed in Bakach." He says, they're allowed to do it. The brisa behedya tani b'soy perak hachevo. We have a brisa. We saw it already. Oyvel chaveru hakeini p'tzeinim and ask lift or potter. I say to somebody else, strike me or wound me, and you'll be exempt. He's potter v'hilksehi. And that's halacha. The alpha gav this nami masis and hasam oyim asamas eini katas yada. Even though I say if you permanently damage me, injure me, that there mechilo doesn't work. But ask lift or chayev hanimili roshev arim. That's if a permanent injury. The ain of the mechol ayam. Nobody has a mind to be mechol a permanent injury. About tzaira de kufa, you know, some discomfort or pain, people are Michael. V'nira shagam hu mutter. Not only says the Malbach, is there no financial liability responsibility, it's mutter too. Oh, how could it be mutter? Until then now, he said things we know. How could it be mutter? Digam shalom atzasi zemefurush. He says, even though I never found this stated explicitly, zulasi remez bovad, it's maybe hinted at. Bamesh kosva rambam. He makes an inference in the language of the Rambam. Everybody said, look back at the Rambam. Perikhev, Chayvo Mazik, Vacha Aleph. Says the Rambam. We read it already. He can't strike or injure your friend. Anybody who hits somebody else. In a combative way, as the Pasuk said in Parashas Mishpatim, Ki Yinatsu Anoshim Yachtov. They're quarreling. So if it's in, you know, in the context of a fight, in some sort of hostility, so then it's prohibited. But says the Marlbach, if the guy comes and he asks me to give him Malkus to achieve a kapara, mashma de eino oivro derech nitzoyim, that's not combative or hostile, then it's allowed. Whew. So this is actually where Moshe uses this inference in the Rambam to permit, as the base of Ramosha is permitting cosmetic surgery. Person is not in any medical need of this surgery, you know, it's not like his life is in danger, or he's limited physically in any way, but he would like to improve his appearance. So the person allowed to undertake such a cosmetic procedure. So assuming the procedure is safe, you know, there isn't too much danger involved, you know, not any more danger than just, you know, going about with daily activities. So the person allowed to engage in such an a cosmetic surgery. So Moshe says that it's mutter. So about a girl who needed some sort of face to improve her appearance. So Moshe says it's allowed. Why? Because the only time, even though you're not allowed to cut yourself or injure yourself, so then how can you engage in a cosmetic surgery, which is highly elective? So Moshe makes the same inference in the language of the Rambam, because the only time it's prohibited to be chevel ba'atzmo is if it's derech nitzoyon, in a combative way, hostile way. But what if it's in order to improve a person's appearance? Ooh, not much. It's allowed. Cosmetic surgery would be allowed. It's to improve your appearance. Our Moshe Zariah from the Gemara Bava Kamma. We saw this. Look back at Sadi Aleph from Abayis. The Gemara said, what did Rav Chisda do when he was walking between the thorns and the bushes? What did he do? He picked up his pants so the thorns would cut his leg and not his pants. How could you do that? It's cutting your leg. And so Moshe says, no, that's allowed. Why? Because it wasn't done in combative, it wasn't an assault. It wasn't derech nitzoyon. It was in order to save his pants. And he's walking through bushes. Person has the right to do that. It could be chayvo ba'atzmoy if it's not derech nitzoyon. And certainly if it's some sort of scratch that's going to heal, a slap, no permanent injury. So says the Maubach that that's not there's no derech nitzoyon if it's not permanent injury involved at all. Guy's asking for malchus and shul to get a kapara. A guy wants to have cosmetic procedure. So the Ramosha says such a thing would be allowed, and it makes a lot of sense why such a thing should be allowed if it's not derech nitzoyon. Elchanan has this in the Kovetz Haoris at Siman Ayin, and he suggests that it's because that the reason why he's talking about the same inference in the Rambam, the reason why it's allowed if it's not derech nitzoyon is because all isurim ben adam chaveroi are only prohibited if it's destructive. Let's say, take for example the isur of lashon hara. You're not allowed to speak lashon hara about somebody else. What if it's l'tayelis? It's a purpose. I'm saving someone else from loss. Don't eat in this place. You'll get food poisoning. It's allowed. It's a mitzvah to do it. Why? You're talking lashon hara. Yeah, there's usher to talk lashon hara, but not if it's productive. I'm helping somebody out. Or you're not allowed to speak harshly with others, hate others. Yeah, but if you're giving the guy to kocha and musar, you're supposed to do it if you think he's going to listen. You're supposed to do it. So you're allowed to do it. So to say to Bachanan, if you're injuring somebody, but it's part of a cosmetic procedure, his appearance will improve. Or he wants to achieve a kapar. I'm doing it. He asked me to do it for his own favor. It's not that, he's a masochist, a sadist, whatever. He wants me to, he enjoys pain and, it's destructive. No, that'd be prohibited. Us allowed them lach b'batzmoy. But over here, it would be allowed. Because it's not destructive, it's not derech nitzoyon. So too, perhaps one can make a similar argument. This is perhaps also, by the way, why the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, before we get to the conclusion, look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, Masechta Sanhedrin, even a person who raises his hand to strike somebody else, Hamagbia Yoda al Chaveroi. Maybe even if he threatens violence, I don't know. It sounds like from here, he raises his hand against his friend, Ava Pishloi Ko Nikra Rasha. Even if he didn't hit him, you're already a Rasha. What's the Raya? The Pasuk says in Parasha Shmois, Moshe Rabbeinu sees two Jews fighting, he comes over to break it up, and he says, Vayomer the Rasha, Lama Sakereyecha. One of them says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the other guy, Russia, why are you hitting your friend, even though he didn't hit him yet? He says, Russia, why are you hitting your friend, even though all he did was raise his hand to hit him? So why is he a Russia yet? He didn't hit him yet. The answer is, raising your hand to hit somebody else, already you're a Russia. Alpha Pishu Eko, Nikra Russia. Why? What did he do wrong? He threatened violence, he raised his hand? So because the answer is, because you lowered the interaction between human beings from a verbal interaction, you know, it became further away from Tzelem Elokim of a verbal interaction to a physical interaction. Even if you threaten violence, you raise your hand, it's a physical interaction. And that already is the problem with hitting your friend. That's what it's all about. It's derech nitzayon. It's you've converted human interactions, you've lowered it, you've changed it and altered it into being now a physical altercation and interaction. That's the problem. But it's not hitting your friend per se. If we'd be hitting your friend per se, you can't be a Russian until you actually hit him. The problem is you've altered the complexion of what's taking place here from a verbal interaction to a physical altercation, and that's the problem. That's why it has to be derech nitzayon. So if that's the case, that perhaps he's discussing a sporting activity. A person gives permission to somebody else to strike him. He hits him, and there's no damage that occurs. You know, it's less than a shavapruta. You know, there isn't any real pain. That's not nitzayon or bizayon. There's no hostility or combative altercations taking place. That's allowed. And, you know, they're playing a game. So it sounds like from Ramesha that a contact sport where nobody really walks away, chas v'shalom, with any permanent injury. There's a hitting play taking place, but everyone, it's all in good fun. So then it's allowed. If there's, sometimes things get too heated and there's animosity, so then, then already and someone could get hurt, and then of course that would be different. But in terms of what, generally takes place in these kinds of sporting activities, if no one really gets hurt, but someone is being slapped, or, there might even be a bruising, like in a paintball, one could make the argument that that's all part of the game, and people are meichel on that, and even though a person cannot be meichel, cannot injure himself, how can he give other people permission to injure him? That's only if it's derech nitzoyim. If it's done with hostility or in a combative sense, but if it's done as part of schoik biyalma, part of the game, so then perhaps it can be allowed, like a paintball. Karate, martial arts, is an entirely different thing. Especially, maybe if it's an exhibition, you would have to rely on this, like a boxing match, a wrestling match. That's all done in good fun and no one, people are meichel, and it's not derech nitzayon. It's not, even though they're fighting with one another, but it's not hostility or combative. It's a part of that's the sporting activity. However, if a person is training someone else in martial arts, that's you're teaching him to educate him. Like the Gemara says in Masechtas Makos, Daf Chesam and Aleph, I'm not recommending it, but Ha'av Hamakos Benoi, Rav Roides Talmidoi. So if you're hitting a child to educate him, not because the father lost his cool and he's letting off steam by laying into the kid, but he's doing it for the, maybe now we have better ways of educating children or the society has changed, but meikar din, of course, it's allowed. You're educating the child. So that's allowed because that's for the child's benefit. Again, not derech nitzayon. That's for the child. So martial arts also, if I throw somebody to a mat because I'm teaching him how to defend himself and raise his self-esteem, I'm educating the fellow. So that of course would be allowed. Or a person causes, so if it's educational, of course that's allowed. But even if it's a regular contact sport, that's generally understood what takes place in the sport. People know that Meirosh and they're Meichel, and it's not taking place in any kind of hostility. It's not derech nitzayon or combative, and one can make the argument that it would be allowed, even though people are hitting each other, perhaps, and even someone walks away with a bruise like a paintball, would be allowed. However, let's say there's danger involved in Yana Diyoma. What if there's danger involved? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Simit Hovchav Zayin, Sifches, person is not supposed to put himself in dangerous situations. As the Pasuk says in Parashat Veschan, Nisham Elecha, Oshmor Nafshecha Miyoyim. You're not supposed to endanger yourself. So I'm not of the belief that certain sports, if you don't know how to ski, obviously it's dangerous. If you know how to ski, presumably it's not dangerous. So, I don't think one thing or one sport or another is necessarily, I'm not going to start listing sports that I think are, if you don't know what you're doing, anything can be dangerous. But if you're properly trained, I don't think it's dangerous. But there is some danger. People do get killed doing these things. Yeah, but people get killed driving a car too. So, there's obviously a certain level of risk that we tolerate in all of our daily activities, and that doesn't seem to disturb us. So nothing would be different in terms of a sporting event. Maybe the level of risk is raised slightly. So, but if it's within the range of what is tolerable, if it's not more a person that nervous, and it's not, a significant minority of people get injured, so one would be allowed to engage in that activity. But it's fascinating. Ramesha has, the Tshuva seems to be a football player. He says, "Nishal to me echad mutalis parnes mi mischak zrikas hakadurim shenikra ball." You're allowed to engage in activity. Sheyesh lochu shesakana kidiira leechad mikama alofim shenistakin. Once in a thousand, people get killed. Can you do this? So Ramesha says, and this was his parnasa. So Ramesha says, yes, it's allowed. You're allowed to risk your life for your parnasa. Obviously not, where you can't undertake something that's, more than 10 people get killed doing it. That's a significant minority. That would be prohibited. But if it's a risk, maybe elevated more than we would normally tolerate, person's allowed to do that for his parnasa. You're allowed to risk your life for a parnasa if it's within the range of what's acceptable. Less than 10%. Why? Because the pasuk says in Parashas Kiseitse, you have to pay workers on time. Says the pasuk, he's risking his life. So Ramesha quotes the Gemara Baba Metzia, why do people hang from trees and build bridges and tunnels? There's always a human cost in building these projects. No one likes to talk about it. People get killed building these bridges and tunnels every time. Come on. They know that. Meirosh. So how is anybody allowed to work on these projects? Because you're allowed to risk your life for parnasa, even if it's a minority of people who this happens to. You're allowed to risk your life to do it. Elav, who knows, is not true. The pasuk says, pay him on time, because people risk their life for their parnasa. So Moshe says, so too, you can play ball, even if you're risking your life for your parnasa. However, I just thought it was a fascinating tshuva. I don't know who this is to. I don't know, what kind of football player there was over here, asking Ramesha Shilas. But I think it's fascinating. Ramesha says that only if it's le'echad mikama alofen. It's one of a thousand. If everybody who plays the sport, or 90% of the people who play the sport, walk away with a shortened lifespan and permanent injury and brain damage, so then that for sure will be included in Raki Shama L'Chol Shmona. Not that anyone's asking Shabbos, but Raki Shama L'Chol Shmona Avshcham Yoid, you're not allowed to do that. Ramesh is discussing that everyone's fine, but once in a while someone gets really hurt. So that's okay. There are sports like that. Okay, Ramesh says you're allowed to do that if it's your parnasa, or maybe if you know what you're doing and you're not nervous, you'd be allowed to. That's a risk that's tolerable. However, if everybody who does it gets injured, come out, then I don't think Ramesh ever would have allowed that. But not that anyone who's engaging in professional football is asking any shilas. But if they would, I think that would be the response. But assuming that there's no elevated risk like that in any of the other contact sports. And, then if it's L'Tayeles, either for self-defense or education, or maybe even if it's just for good fun, that was the Machlekes about the Schoik Biyama, if it's, people just get, slapped or something, hit somebody else, but there's no permanent injury that occurs, and that's not the assumption that that's going to take place, it's just maybe a temporary wound or striking somebody, but it's not Derech Mitzayin, it's not done in combative hostile way, then I think perhaps there's room to be lenient. Okay.
CTE would be considered permanent thing?
Well, it's not my-